C2A. Number 17A.
We started this morning with the subject of love as spirit, and we have seen that love here gives the meaning that now there is a full reward for having a divinely minded consciousness, that will have a merit and a reward, and that the reward is assured. So that's the tone of love that comforts us in this way. Now at the point of spirit, love as spirit, spirit shows that love demands that we really stir up within ourselves the spirit of the Christ, and that we reflect really the Christ spirit without measure, without any restriction, no matter what we will face in that attitude. Because, as we have seen through the whole chapter, that to stand for truth will always be persecuted, so she takes up that term of martyrs and martyrdom, saying that really when a martyr reflects the spirit without measure, that's what he does, he never gives in, he never backs out, that is the seed of the world, that is the seed of the church, that is that which brings the idea on and on and on, carries it on through history, and therefore is the spiritual order that unfolds. She speaks about that martyrs are the human links which connect one stage of progress with another stage of progress. So we get the feeling that reflecting really the Christ without measure, illumining, so to say, the world with that seed, that is that which brings the idea forward. Then we have seen the subtone of soul, which said, therefore, in order to express really the fullness of the Christ Spirit without measure, we must emulate Jesus. Tone of soul, that we must do what Jesus did, that we must go right along that way from sense to soul, imitate his mighty works, she says, so as that to show that we are incorporating within ourselves that Christ spirit. Here we left the subject and we come to the subtone of truth on line 22, where she goes on and says, it is possible. Yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man and woman. We come now to the duty. What is our duty? Duty is always principle. It's always that obedience to principle. And it's the duty of every child, man and woman, gives a universal sense that it applies to everyone, not to a few chosen ones, to follow in some degree, again, that nice touch, in some degree, never asking really the optimum, only asking always that what is possible, the example of the Master by what? By demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. So what is the showing forth of the Christ Spirit without measure at the point of principle says, it is the duty of everyone to demonstrate really the truth and life as the Master exemplified it. Again, we can see it is a sense of reflection of spirit that they do what the Master did, reflect that, be also a martyr like Jesus was, like the early Christians were. That spirit of the Christ is really that seed which brings the idea further, spirit, and that if you really emulate him in all his way, then you incorporate really the Christ Spirit in you, and that at the point of principle makes you able to demonstrate that principle. Christian claims to be his followers, but do they follow him? in the way that he commanded. Again, that inquisitive question, do we really do what we profess? Here, these imperative commandments, be therefore perfect. You have the tone of love going right through it. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Go ye into all the world, again the universal sense of love, and preach the gospel to every creature, again the universal sense, heal the sick. Can you see, it is constantly showing that there should be no boundaries for the reflection of spirit, that it must be total, a totality of reflection, here at the point of principle, to obey the commandment of principle, and to demonstrate that principle as Jesus demonstrated it. Then she leads on to the little subtone of life, asking, why has this Christian demand so little inspiration to stir mankind to Christian effort? You at once see again this requirement. Why has it so little inspiration, the inspiration of life, to stir mankind? The Spirit really should stir mankind completely and to bring inspiration of life. Her answer is, well, because men are assured that this command was intended only for a particular period. And you see, the counterfeit of life, only a particular period, life is eternal. And for a select number of followers, again, the counterfeit of the individuality of life, that it is not possible for every individual. That's the general attitude that they say, there are always in history some who will do it, there will be in history always some pioneers of truth, and they shall do it for us, and we will then afterwards trot along. Whereas her concept of life naturally is that everyone should really be a pioneer of truth and not put it off as a duty to somebody else. Therefore, she says, this teaching is even more pernicious than the old doctrine of foreordination, the election of a few to be saved while the rest is damned. That was the theological concept, or is the theological concept of many churches, that some are saved and the others are damned forever and ever. They then are in hell and stay there, whereas only a few are pushed into heaven. So she takes up that thought also and says, no, each individual has to demonstrate that divine principle. Each one has to show that he can follow Jesus and not to push it off. And so it will be considered when the lethargy of mortals produced by man-made doctrines is broken by the demands of divine science. So divine science breaks that restricted sense, that time sense and restricted sense, and breaks it and says, divine science, love, demands really full individuality, full fellowship. Full following of the exemplar. The side note is, Jesus' teaching belittled. You can see it's the narrow sense of life, the limited sense of life that must be dealt with here, because that would not really stir the spirit without measure. That would bind the spirit within the confines of time and space. So you get the terrific sense that everyone has to be, to a measure, a martyr, that is a seed of the church, that really brings the idea forward. That's the duty of everyone, of every child, man and woman, that he must be a flaming torch that goes on and says, come along, I go before you, either as a pillar of cloud or as a fire by night. Follow me, go along that way, do the best you can, emulate that principle the best you can, then you can also demonstrate that principle to the best you can, and at the point of life. Don't think that the other is going to do it for you. Don't expect the other to take the coal out of the fire and burn his finger. Go and burn it yourself. Go on, go on, go on. Then we come to a tone of truth. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So it gives us sense now, these signs shall follow them. Now we get the true reward that has been promised, that in truth there is a law of righteousness, and gives the full reward. But who believes him? He was addressing his disciples, yet he did not say, "These signs shall follow you," but them. See, no restriction in number. Them that believe in all time to come. Again, you have a universal sense of all time to come. You can really bring forth those demonstrations of truth, those signs of truth for all time, as if he would have said, "I give you the eternal truth, and eternally mankind can rely on that truth and follow it." Here the word "hands" is used metaphorically, as in the text, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted." It expresses spiritual power. Otherwise, the healing could not have been done spiritually. So, tone here at the point of truth we have seen is showing here that if we follow that Christ spirit without measure through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, that then constitutes actually the power of demonstration, the power of heal, that equips us with spiritual healing power. Always at the point of truth, we always get what makes up the true man, how the true man really is seen and established as the manhood of the full measure of manhood in Christ. If we do that, then the last sentence just gives at the end a touch of love. "At another time Jesus prayed, not for the 12 only, but for as many," again you get the universal sense, not for 12, but for an unlimited sense, "for as many as should believe through their word." And we begin to see that it is the word of God that will be universally spreading the mission of the Christ idea. So that Jesus teaches the disciples through the word, and the disciples teach again the word to the others, and so it will multiply and multiply in order to cover the whole earth. So that's the spirit of the Christ spirit that she shows. Love wants that Christ spirit is stirred up in us, that begins to move in us, that begins to be the driving force in us, and that is driving us on and on from the very point of being a martyr, going right down through history and showing that it will touch everybody and that it is applicable to everybody, and that everybody is engaged in that universal plan of salvation, so that all who hear the word will be rewarded. Yes. Okay. Again, we had a run through the seven, and I think it was quite easy to follow those tones. Now, if it's quite easy to follow the tones, and always should sit back somehow And perhaps also consider another little point, that of gratitude. Now, always when I see how exact the text is that Mrs. Eddy has given, how actually the text shows forth the spiritual order of being. And when one sees that, therefore, on the other side, the spiritual order in the text is only there because the one being is order and has order and reveals himself in order, then I begin to be enormously grateful, and I just are always full of admiration and always stand in awe before that terrific fact that we are living for the first time, so to say, in history, at the point where we can understand being, where we can understand being through very simple few categories. That if I have if I train myself into a new consciousness, into the language of spirit, into that language, into that consciousness which can really reason logically in spiritual terms, not in word terms, but in spiritual terms, then I am so grateful. Something very mighty comes upon us, which says, golly, is that possible? That after thousands and thousands of years, we can consciously commune with God, like Mary's self-conscious communion with God. We can self-consciously commune with divine science and see, my word, I don't have to learn all those thousands and thousands of nice little truths. All I have to know is that I hear really the few categories of being ringing in my consciousness. That I hear again and again just the word order flowing through any question. If I have the question, how should I really get hold of heaven? The answer is there and says, don't go to anybody, go to the textbook, go to the original text, there you find your answer. Actually, you not even have to go through the textbook if you once have seen that it is just showing the word order, and so I can sit back. I don't need to have the textbook open. I may not even have the textbook with me. I may be somewhere. I don't always carry the textbook in my pocket. And you just can think about that reality and see, yes, we have a word order that shows how to form, to mold my consciousness so that it flows in the mind order of mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul, principle, life, truth and love, to gain heaven. Or I can see now here in the second tone of love as spirit, which says, you know, love wants you that universal love, that absolute all-embracing love wants really that all-embracing sense, that universal sense is reflected in you, spirit, that it is reflected in you, that spirit begins to stir you, that you cannot be apathetical about it. It begins to move within you. How does it move within you? And so we can go again to the word order and just get the whole wonderful picture of how the Christ Spirit moves us right from the beginning, from being an illuminary, of having a new idea, that new idea being a seed that begins to grow and unfold, that begins to get identity, that begins to demonstrate itself, that begins to demonstrate that point of life individually, and with that the point of truth, its own reward. You can be sure that it has its own reward, so that it finally, you can see that it blesses the whole universe. Do you need a textbook then? Can you see, if we first study the letter, but then we imbibe the spirit. When we imbibe the spirit, we don't imbibe just the spirit of here a sentence, there a sentence. Hear what somebody said nicely, and there what the Bible has said in a statement, and what there I have read in an article, now I go back to the science. I don't go outside science constantly and go to people. I go always to science because that science contains all. There is nothing that is not contained in the textbook. That textbook presents God in its entirety, namely in its three categories. What do you want more? What is there more? There is none besides God. There are not many gods. There's only one God, and that God today is divine science. That gratitude that then comes up in one's heart is so necessary, so that one really feels that one is engaged in a very important activity, in a very important work, that one is engaged in a very progressive work, in a pioneering work, that pioneering work which is then the seed of the church, that pioneering work will have a history and will go down the history of spirit, and so will identify itself everywhere as that new pioneering idea, and can be demonstrated as principle by all individually life, and they all will get the rightful reward as truth, so that it helps the whole world. And you begin to see that you are the seed of the whole world, that you lay a seed in consciousness that is going to bless the whole world. Can you see that? Yeah? Don't say no. Yes. Okay, we go to the next subject of soul. Again, it is love as soul. Again, we first see what is the epitome that may help us. I put it that way, that through man's unity with love, now comes soul, our true selfhood. You know that soul is that synonymous term that gives us our true selfhood, because soul identifies us divinely, so that our true selfhood remains completely untouched by sin and suffering. Can you see now, we get the higher sense. Up to now, it's usually you have to suffer, and you have to suffer, and through suffering you get on and on. But now when we come to the main tone of love as soul, then that soul is certainly something else. I said, before one starts then seeing the detailed layout, we first go and read the whole text and see in which way does the text bring out the tone of love, and in which way does the text bring out the tone of soul. Here I give it to you. Mostly here, love has another connotation than up to now. It is showing full salvation. It's talking constantly about salvation, full salvation, about divine pardon, not pardon, but divine pardon. And you can see you are saved. You have gone the way from sons to soul. So from the point of view of love, you are saved. All error is destroyed, because love says, I'm all or nothing. If I'm all, then error is nothing, and I don't know error. That's the tone of love. The tone of soul is brought out like this. It has a lot to do now with sin, self. Can you see that they are all counterfeits of soul? With sin, self, pleasures of the physical senses, gratification of the senses, material pains and pleasures, pleasures of sin, material senses, and then positively, it has to do with spiritual selfhood, spiritual sense, self-denials, rejoicing, joy, and meekness. Can I expect that these terms are very clear as fact or counterfeits of the tone of soul? Is the knowledge of the synonymous term good enough in your consciousness to detect that at once, as that it has to do with soul. I think at this point I should be able to expect that. Else, if I can't do, then it's very good to know it. Then you know that your tonality of the seventh synonymous term is still a bit learned, is still not definite, that you have to go back and really culture the tonality of the seventh synonymous terms much better. And this is a good thing too. So what she says here is that love brings salvation. How does love bring salvation as soul? Namely, through the abandonment of sin and self and material self and the testimony of the physical senses. Therefore, love says, I'm forcible. I'm forcible about soul. Therefore, love enforces us to go the way from sense to soul and demands that we stick to our spiritual selfhood, which alone saves us from sin and suffering. Is it possible now for you that when I speak what I have just said now, that you could actually quite easily always detect that I was just talking about two things, love and soul? Can you see? I was talking quite a few sentences, but is it so that now you say, yeah, within the system that means God is love and God is soul, and therefore God as love is forcing me the way of salvation. That way of salvation goes through soul by rebuking sin, giving up sin, sticking to our spiritual sense, to our spiritual selfhood, and not letting go of our spiritual selfhood. Is that not clear? Yes. The faces don't show it, but perhaps the heart does. I have to get used here. You see, on the waistcoat, I just see these faces beaming. But this doesn't matter. The East Coast is always a bit different mentality and reacts a bit different.